said Hermione, swiveling around in her seat to look at the entrance. A great collective sigh issued from the assembled witches and wizards as Monsieur Delacour and Fleur came walking up the aisle, Fleur gliding, Monsieur Delacour bouncing and beaming. Fleur was wearing a very simple white dress and seemed to be emitting a strong silvery glow. While her radiance usually dimmed everyone else by comparison, today it beautified everybody it fell upon. Ginny and Gabrielle, both wearing golden dresses, looked even prettier than usual, and once Fleur had reached him, Bill did not look as though he had ever met Fenrir Greyback.
"Ladies and gentlemen," said a slightly sing-song voice, and with a slight shock, Harry saw the same small, tufty-haired wizard who had presided at Dumbledore's funeral, now standing in front of Bill and Fleur. "We have gathered here today to celebrate the union of two faithful souls. Yes, my tiara sets off the whole thing nicely," said Auntie Muriel in a rather carrying whisper. "But I must say, Ginevra's dress is far too low cut."
Ginny glanced around, grinning, winked at Harry, then quickly faced the front again. Harry's mind wandered a long way from the marquee, back to afternoons spent alone with Ginny in lonely parts of the school grounds. They seemed so long ago. They had always seemed too good to be true, as though he had been stealing shining hours from a normal person's life, a person without a lightning-shaped scar on his forehead.
"Do you, William Arthur, take Fleur, Isabel?"
In the front row, Mrs. Weasley and Madame Delacour were both sobbing quietly into scraps of lace. Trumpet-like sounds from the back of the marquee told everyone that Hagrid had taken out one of his own tablecloth-sized handkerchiefs. Hermione turned and beamed at Harry. Her eyes, too, were full of tears.
"Then I declare you bonded for life."
The tufty-haired wizard waved his wand high over the heads of Bill and Fleur, and a shower of silver stars fell upon them, spiraling around their now entwined figures. As Fred and George led a round of applause, the golden balloons overhead burst. Birds of paradise and tiny golden bells flew and floated out of them, adding their songs and chimes to the din.
"Ladies and gentlemen," called the tufty-haired wizard, "if you would please stand up."
They all did so, Auntie Muriel grumbling audibly. He waved his wand again. The seats on which they had been sitting rose gracefully into the air as the canvas walls of the marquee vanished, so that they stood beneath a canopy supported by golden poles with a glorious view of the sunlit orchard and surrounding countryside. Next, a pool of molten gold spread from the center of the tent to form a gleaming dance floor. The hovering chairs grouped themselves around small, white-clothed tables, which all floated gracefully back to earth around it, and the golden jacketed band trooped toward a podium.
"Smooth,"
said Ron approvingly, as the waiters popped up on all sides, some bearing silver trays of pumpkin juice, butter beer, and fire whiskey, others tottering piles of tarts and sandwiches.
"We should go and congratulate them,"
said Hermione, standing on tiptoe to see the place where Bill and Fleur had vanished amid a crowd of well-wishers.
"We'll have time later,"
shrugged Ron, snatching three butter beers from a passing tray and handing one to Harry.
"Hermione, cup hold. Let's grab a table. Not there, nowhere near Muriel."
Ron led the way across the empty dance floor, glancing left and right as he went. Harry felt sure that he was keeping an eye out for Crumb. By the time they had reached the other side of the marquee, most of the tables were occupied. The emptiest was the one where Luna sat alone.
"All right if we join you?" asked Ron.
"Oh, yes," she said happily. "Daddy's just gone to give Bill and Fleur our present."
"What is it? A lifetime's supply of gurdy roots?" asked Ron. Hermione aimed a kick at him under the table, but caught Harry instead. Eyes watering in pain, Harry lost track of the conversation for a few moments.